Bridget Finke joins us once again today. Bridget, our resident attorney and with Valley Crossing Law over in the Baldwin area. And Bridget, a lot of things to talk about as we're looking at some of the things that are going on in this world now, the coronavirus situation. And, you know, some restaurants are opening and you're keeping a distance. You just can't get as close to people as you used to. And it makes me think about farms. Agritourism has been a big business, and I would imagine that's slowing down right now. But if you're trying to do some of that, we've got pick your own strawberries coming up, things like that. We're into that season. But the owners of those operations, as far as liability and insurance, what kind of, I guess, things should people like that be looking at to make sure their backside, so to speak, is covered?
Yeah, and you probably heard some of the, you know, tales coming out about there not being coverage for COVID-type events. And so my encouragement is just make sure you understand what your insurance covers and what it doesn't before you make decisions about how it is you want to proceed with things. You know, just go in eyes open, because what you don't want to do is open things up, conduct business as usual, and then you've got an issue, and turns out that your insurance company is not going to stand behind you on that. So it's really individual, and I know a lot of folks are really working too hand in hand with their county health departments, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page and that those businesses are in compliance with, you know, the latest guidance that's coming out, which we all know is a moving target.
And as we look at our insurance policies and the current coronavirus situation, hopefully this is a one-time deal that we'll never face again. But do most insurance companies, from what you've dealt with, I know talking to farmers and estate plans and things like that, do they have, do you call it business interruption insurance? Do you call it catastrophic event insurance? Is that something everybody would carry, or an insurance, even an insurance man would recommend that you carry?
The business interruption insurance, I don't see that being carried a whole lot because it's so expensive and then sometimes is difficult to prove what your losses are. And so there's plenty of circumstances where people don't have that. And, you know, this comes up in the context of long-term care insurance as well. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I don't have that, it's too expensive. It's always good to ask the question and get the price and then make your own determination of whether that makes sense or doesn't make sense in your particular circumstance. You know, sometimes we have a tendency, you know, a lot of these big dairies started as very small dairies. And a number that maybe didn't make sense when you had 40 cows might make a whole lot more sense when you have 1,500 cows. And so I think it's good always to get the information, understand the options, and then make a determination. So, you know, one thing that can come from all this unrest in our world right now is a good opportunity to just take a survey of what you have and make sure you understand what you have, where your gaps are, and then take any steps that you can take within your control to be able to minimize those.
And preparedness, I guess, awareness of the operation, like you said, went from 40 cows to 400 and maybe more. The way you do business has changed. The way you have to do business has changed. What about preparedness, some of the things that we need to make sure that the operation, because there's maybe more than one or even two people making decisions now, but do they have the powers to make those decisions? What are some of the things we should be planning for or prepared to deal with as we go forward and make changes in our estate plan or our transition plan?
On the individual level, very important that you have a financial or durable power of attorney in place to assure that, you know, if only dad is on the checkbook, that someone else has authority to write checks and continue the business if things are done in individual names. If you've got business entities, making sure that you have more than one person with authority to take action or make clear on who that successor or backup person would be to be able to continue the business operation.
And so as we go forward, we hear many stories too nowadays about, well, they called my loan and caught by surprise that I thought I had plenty of collateral. I thought I had plenty of value in there. How often should we be aware and updating what we've got as far as loans, as far as potential collateral out there? Is that an annual thing? Or because many times we need loans every year of some kind.
Sure. Typically, I encourage the annual update, and, you know, plenty of the local banks that I deal with do that. You know, we update what's the machinery situation, what are the feed inventories, what are land values doing, making sure that's up to date on an annual basis just so no one is surprised. And the other thing I would say, kind of this, you know, using what's going on as a reason to look at things, farms have gotten bigger, farms have gotten more complicated. Do you know what debt is in what name and who signed for it and what collateral is pledged for it? It's really important, I think, to have your arms around that and to be mindful every time you take that new loan of making sure you understand what you're putting at risk to back that particular loan, because, you know, things can get scary in a hurry.
And as you look at that collateral over the years, I would assume some of it will lose value. Who sets the value of that collateral, and how much input does the farmer and should the farmer have as far as being around when somebody makes those valuations?
It varies a lot, I think, bank to bank, and ultimately a lot of those bank documents give, you know, a lot of power to the bank to determine that they feel vulnerable on a particular loan. And so all that fine print becomes really important. And the other thing I would say too is that, you know, keep in mind that banks want to get paid. They don't like foreclosing on loans. And so I think keeping that open line of communication and making sure everybody is staying in touch and updated really helps from getting caught off guard.
Bankers are bankers. They don't want to be farmers. Bridget Finke with us once again from Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area. And Bridget, folks that have questions on some of the things we've talked about or putting together an estate plan, a transition plan, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can give us a call at 715-688-4045 or check us out online at wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
Very good. Bridget Finke with us once again from Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area. I'm Bob Bosold.